You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Benjamin Larson, the owner of Unleashed Pet Boarding Daycare and Grooming. Benjamin, how are you doing today?
Good, James. You can call me Ben. Nice to talk to you.
I'm going to call you Ben. Ben, yeah. You don't need these formalities, right?
No, not at all.
So, Ben, I came across, I don't know how I happened upon this, but I saw you on LinkedIn. We've been connected for years now. And I've always known you as a guy that was selling financial planning stuff or life insurance and all that jazz. And then I saw this pet boarding thing. And I thought, what in the world happened?
Yeah, that's a good question, James. I don't know. No, I'm kidding.
it just happened.
Yeah, the financial planning thing was actually a pretty brief part of my journey, if you will. I actually started out in sports broadcasting for a long time. So I was, I was on the radio for, all told the better part of 20 years.
Holy
and,
cow.
So that was fun.
Right. Did you get sick of it or just realize they don't pay anything or?
Yeah, the latter. Definitely the latter. I started to have a family and realized, we need to start getting real here.
Sure,
so,
sure.
So I did. I moved into more of some sales roles, and one of those being the financial planning. I actually spent 3 years with Northwestern Mutual.
Okay.
Certainly learned a lot there as it relates to sales because I had no, zero sales background in the broadcasting world. And so it was very helpful to learn that. And then I spent some time as well with credit card processing and merchant services with Wind River Financial in Madison.
Oh, sure.
And during that time, my wife is a veterinarian. And we had talked going back to probably 2009, 2010 about trying to open up a kennel daycare facility.
Okay.
Found it to be very attractive. I do have an entrepreneurial spirit in me. So
sure.
Like that creative side, I think that certainly you and probably listeners of this podcast probably have, is what I'm assuming. And right. So, it was something we wanted to do. And I definitely, I love dogs. And I also wanted to own a business and have that creative outlet. And so, that's where that happened. This opportunity came up. There was an older couple that was retiring just south of Cottage Grove here, and we had the opportunity to talk with them really for the better part of 2 years, and finally kind of came to an agreement and purchased the facility back in September of 2019. And it's been pretty crazy ever since. It's been a lot of fun to go in and we've done a few things, but we're not even close to really having it to where we want it going forward. And obviously we've had a little wrench thrown in here from the COVID situation, but that's sure. Where we're at.
Sure. So, okay. Yeah. So you covered a lot of ground there. So let me talk to you about just purchasing the business versus starting your own dog daycare space. What made you decide to buy an existing one versus just starting from scratch?
It's a great question. I think I leaned at the end of the day toward having a place that had an established customer base and a lot of established facilities and being able to kind of build on that foundation I found attractive. We really went back and forth on whether or not to start our own. And it just seemed like the opportunity was there and they were selling. If we hadn't come across the opportunity, we probably would have tried to start our own at some point, mm-hmm. rather than trying to, purchase. Some of these are, if sold in the area where they've been bought up by, big, I don't know if it's national, but it's certainly large entities that have purchased them. And it just wouldn't have been in our range. This one was.
Sure.
So, you know, that's kind of what, where it came down to, was that at the end of the day, this thing was right there, and we could, you know, finally pull the trigger on it. And so we did.
Okay. So is your wife full time in this, or is she still working as a veterinarian?
She still works as a veterinarian, okay, downtown. She works for the UW. And so, I'm kind of running it now. She is obviously, helping to make, you know, all the decisions. And, she also has, opened up vet services that are more, by appointment.
Sure.
We have her company's called Galaxy Vet LLC. Okay. And she is, obviously works with, and on site, when she has the appointments. So we, you know, anybody can set those up, through us or by sending it to her particular email, and that information is all, you know, on our Facebook page and everything. But yeah, that's where we're, what we're doing. And hopefully, you know, it will grow into a spot where she can have, a more of a full-time role as
sure.
we kind of grow this thing. Yeah.
Sure. So let's talk about the transition. I guess the company that you bought, you saw that it was for sale, or did you reach out to them, or was this a hear it through the grapevine kind of thing?
Yeah, almost. We had a dog. We had moved to Cottage Grove, and we were looking for boarding. And she found this place and went to go check it out. I think she was just going to check out the facility first before we would, you know, drop the dog off and have it stay. And the owners basically, at the time she visited, had just decided to put it up for sale. And so she kind of caught them at the right time, and they said, you know, we're looking to sell this place. And so she came home and said, well, guess what I just found? And so we kind of, you know, that started the process, and
sure.
we went in for a couple of years there to negotiate and see, you know, how things would work out. So yeah, that's how we heard about it.
No, tell me, a couple of years for negotiating. I don't have the patience for stuff like that. So tell me, how did you last, and what was causing the delay?
It was really just the price point. It was not, you know, the amount that they had, the sale price at was just, you know, we weren't going to be able to make it work with a business plan. And so,
sure.
You know, it's, I say 2 years, but really was an initial thought and kind of look, and we just verbalized to them what we thought we could do, and knowing that, you know, it wasn't going to happen at that time. And then, I think they had another offer fall through after they had gotten to, you know, fairly deep in the process. And so we went a long time without actually talking to them about it. And then
gotcha.
It sort of represented itself, a year and a half down the line. And, then we had to go through the joy of zoning and, going to all those meetings.
Sure.
And, so it took a while to finally close the deal.
So it was an existing business though, right? So was zoning really a problem?
It was, believe it or not, not a problem, but it was a process we had to go through, and there were no problems with it, but it was
sure.
just a delay. It took 3 months to change it because there had been some changes that had been made to the zoning of the land, but they were grandfathered in. So when they sold it, it had to be rezoned to have a commercial. So it was kind of funny the way it worked, but we ended up having to go to 4 separate meetings over 3 months.
Wow.
Both with the town of Cottage Grove and then Dane County. And they were pretty much formalities. I mean, we had to present, and of course they had to vote on it, but
sure.
there were no obstacles and no objections,
gotcha.
But you know, just the timing of the meetings. So,
sure.
yeah.
Sure. Interesting. So you have some kids, right?
Yeah, I have 3 of them.
Okay. Three. I'll call
yeah.
that a lot.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm with you there.
So how old is the oldest kid?
She's 11.
11. Okay. So you bought this business or you actually started operating it in September of 2019. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep. Yep.
Okay. So she's probably old enough to be cheap child labor as long as she's related to you, right?
She is, you know, not too much. And
okay.
I'm not even lying about that. Not too much, but yeah, we'll have her come and as time goes along, it'll be more and more here.
Sure.
But yeah, she's not quite, you know, we want to have her a little more trained before she can handle, you know, the dogs in the yard, just because you want to
sure.
have a good presence there
sure.
that can handle the dogs. So,
right.
yeah.
So I've coached a couple dog daycare places, and I know that there's money to be made there, but it seems like there's more of a passion for people that run places like this, a passion for animals and all the, I guess, the joys of hanging out with dogs. Is that where you and your wife are coming from on this?
Yeah, I mean, it is. You know, I think it's both the passion is there for sure. I mean, I love dogs. I love animals. We also board cats.
Well, you do.
I like cats too.
Okay.
We have a couple of them at home. Yeah, exactly right. I know. I like cats that are nice to me. Okay. No, I'm kidding.
I like cats. I think I've met one once.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe I have a better ability. I don't know.
That could be. It comes down to my patience issue.
Yeah, I suppose. I can see that. Yeah, they can sense it. But yeah, I think, you know, we certainly do have a passion for animals. And obviously, you don't become a veterinarian if you don't have one, from my wife's side of things. So right. we really enjoy, you know, being around them. And it comes down to both that and wanting to run a business from my side of things. But, you know, I think you have to also develop a special relationship with the pet owners. I mean, this is not a business where you just love animals but don't interact with humans. You know, I think that the people who are coming to drop their pets off and coming to have them do daycare or boarding obviously want to feel comfortable. These are members of their family always, mm-hmm. and they want to feel great about where they're leaving their pets and that they're going to be cared for, that they're going to have a good time, that we're going to follow through on all of our promises, and that, you know, that we make as it relates to just what we do with the pets and how we care for them.
Sure.
You know, they want all those things. And, you know, you have to not only deliver that, but also be a people person. And that's really where I come in, you know, to be able to relate and to, you know, get to know my customers a little bit, mm-hmm. and just have it be a warm place. It's a place where, you know, they want to feel really good every day or twice a week or when they take a vacation, dropping their pet off. And,
yeah.
You know, so that's really where it comes down to. And I do like all of those aspects of the business. It's just, for me, it's a lot more fun. I'm way more suited to it than, for instance, what I used to do in sales, where I have to go out and be, you know, in sales. And that was, I could do it, but I was never great at it because I didn't have the passion for sales.
Sure.
As much as running honestly, a brick and mortar business, which, you know, a little bit, those are becoming fewer and fewer, I know, but this one,
every day,
this one you can't really do online.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So,
That's fair. Let's go. Do you mind if we shift into the career that you were making with Northwestern Mutual and I forget the second place you were at.
I was at Wind River Financial, where they do credit card merchant services, so selling credit card processing to.
Okay, so let's talk about Northwestern Mutual. Northwestern Mutual, sure. I know a lot of people come and go through there. Some people are still there.
And yeah.
That essentially means when you started out, you probably had to get all your friends and family to buy life insurance or move their investments and stuff like that to your end. Was that a challenge to move away from that after a few years?
It was, yeah. I mean, it was not... It was not the easiest. I think I came to a point where I realized, I think it's just the stark reality was, I didn't want to be doing it for the rest of my life.
Sure.
And I think what happened was I was 3 years in and I, you know, developed some good relationships with people.
Yeah.
And I realized that I didn't want to be doing this every day and I didn't enjoy it and then have those relationships stay with me for that amount of time and then tell them 10 or 15 years down the road, I can't do this anymore.
Sure.
So that's, you know, was a big factor in my decision.
Gotcha. Okay. Cause I mean, 3 years in a place like that is actually a pretty decent run. I mean,
yeah.
The rule that I've seen was if they made it more than 6 months, they're,
I know. Right. Yeah.
They're doing okay.
I guess I was able to do it. But yeah, I mean, I could have, if again, I think it, I've had a real, enjoyment and passion for two things, you know, so far in my career, my, I don't know if you call it a career because I've changed careers a few times, but
yeah, we all do. It's all good.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the sports broadcasting where I'd come to work every day where people say, you know, it's not work, if you really love what you do. Yeah, but it still is.
Sure.
because it's a work,
pay you to show up. So
yeah, there's a work component to it, even if you do have a passion for it.
Sure.
So I guess where I'm going with that, not to bridge you to a different point, but where I'm going with that is I really loved what I did then. I had ambition and wanted to succeed at it and go somewhere with it. And I did, on paper, I did, as it relates to the different things that I accomplished in that career, had to make a change for family reasons, was kind of not in that space, you know, really for 10 years.
Okay.
And now I am again, and it's great. And again, it's a lot of work, but it's just, you know, there'll be times when I'm a little burned out, but then, you know, I get a good rest and I'm ready to go again. And that was not the case, you know, at all with Northwestern Mutual or any of my sales jobs. It just isn't what I'm suited for.
Sure.
You know, what I found.
Sure. It was just constant motion or constant hustling, I suppose. And there had to be a residuals component as far as pay goes for those, right?
Yeah. Although again, you know, those trails of, if I get anything, it's kind of something I can laugh at every now and then. Like,
you sound like some comedians that I know that,
yeah,
that made some money on a commercial and every once in a while they get a 50-cent check or something.
Yeah. Like it costs more to print and send the check than what the check is worth. Yeah.
Sure.
That kind of thing. Yeah. I would agree with that. In fact, I haven't seen any in so long. I know I got a few of those, but
sure.
So long, I don't remember. So yeah, it did not, pan out from that standpoint. You need more than 3 years.
That's
sort of stuff work.
That's fair. So, yeah. That's fair. And then, okay, so then you moved from there directly to Wind River Financial. Wind River is a decent sized company around here. Processing credit cards. Credit cards don't seem to be going away. In fact, with all this COVID stuff, I feel like people prefer it because they don't know how to make change and they don't know how to hand it back to you without germs.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know how to hand your credit card back to you without.
Yeah, they either hand it with a tissue or they just have the opportunity to put it online.
Like, as long as it's plastic, it's not a germ.
Yeah. Really.
Anyways,
yeah, exactly.
So was that tough to make sales, or was it tough to just because it was sales of any kind? Or what was the challenge there?
I think the second answer. I mean, here's the deal with Wind River. If you're not familiar, if you don't know, they are a fantastic company. I mean, I cannot possibly give you a high enough compliment about them, the way they treat their employees, the atmosphere there. You know, I made some good friends. It's just the way that they care for their employees, from what I understand, how they've been dealing with the COVID crisis here. You know, it's been a few weeks since I talked to anybody there, friends that I had, but, you know, a few weeks ago they were saying they haven't, you know, had to lay anybody off, and they're taking care of everybody. I mean, again, they do a fantastic job with that. And is a family-owned company, and really quality people, right?
Sure.
So I had, you know, I worked there for 5 years. I had, you know, a lot of good experiences from that regard. Again, the problem with what I was having, why I wanted something different, was because it just wasn't, it just did not get me in any way excited to get out of bed in the morning, you know, and I just couldn't, it's the work, and it is what it is. And I'd say that I'm not trying to insult anybody. I just don't have any passion for sales, and certainly not, you know, trying to sell credit card processing. It's just not something that I could find any inspiration in. And so I knew I had to move on, you know, so that's just the deal.
No, I get it. I completely understand that. There's I run into people that are in that line of work, and I don't know how they get out of bed, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's, you know, it is what it is. I mean, again, it's different strokes for different folks all the time, and I completely understand that. So it's not a, you know, it's not a judgment on anyone. It's just I could not do it. So.
No, yeah. There, I guess I would argue that there's probably, let's call it 85 to 90% of the jobs out there that people have that I don't know how they do them.
Right.
Just like, I don't know, pick a job, any job.
Right.
Really. I mean,
right.
My wife's a teacher. I don't know how she does it. Cause
yeah. Talk about kids. Hard work. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could argue police are having a rough time now. Doctors are having a rough time now. I don't know. I guess outside of being an entrepreneur with some business like this, there's even days when I have a challenge.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, I mean, my gosh, no question. What did I create here?
Yeah, exactly. I need a break, right?
Yeah. So I don't, maybe the number's closer to 100%. Who knows? But in the end, it sounds like you landed on something that you're enjoying. And there's an ownership aspect to it. Tell me.
Yeah, I think for me, the ownership aspect is the huge deal. You know, I have worked as hard as I am, certainly, these days, you know, the hours and the amount of time I'm putting in the work. But it's just the idea of, you know, being able to make your own choices and, you know, be creative and, you know, be the owner, see what you have to do. I mean, that is definitely my North Star, so to speak. So that's why it's so fun right now.
Nice. So I guess let's shift into the conversations that you had with the previous owners. How long did they own this place?
25 years. They started in the mid-90s.
Okay. And did they start it from scratch or did they buy it from someone else?
Yeah, it was a house on 3 acres south of Cottage Grove. It's actually located just south of the Beltline, essentially. I mean, it's not the Beltline by the time it gets there. It's the Highway N exit, you know, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
so it's just to the south of that. And it was just a country lot, and they created a kennel, and they built three large play areas, one of which is covered so that can, you know, stay out of the elements.
Okay.
And so they've got a kennel building and three large play areas, and actually a separate building that houses a pet cremation furnace.
Gotcha.
And so there's a little bit of an eclectic grouping there.
Right.
But that's what they have. And so, yeah, they built that all themselves, you know, after they bought the house. So that's kind of goes back to the zoning thing too, that they got a conditional use permit to do all that stuff. And then we had to change the zoning to commercial. And so that's what happened.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's that's crazy. So I imagine it takes let's just hit a tangent here, the cremation thing. That probably takes a special kind of person to be able to cremate anything.
Yeah.
On a pet or something like that. So it sounds like a morbid conversation, but I'm assuming, is there some formality to it, or is it pretty much just get a shovel and toss spot into the furnace?
Yeah, I mean, the nuts and bolts of it, the physical aspect of it are, yes, of course you need to physically take an animal that is deceased, usually dogs, some cats, and a very small percentage of other, you know, bunnies.
Sure.
Or guinea pigs or whatever.
Okay.
And put them in the furnace. And of course, if it's a 50 to 90 pound dog, you're gonna have to use some force to get it in there, right? And so it is what it is.
Sure.
That part is kind of private. We don't want people who are grieving to see that. It just has to be done. So we have a way to deal with it. We have a cart that we can bring the animal in on. We have a separate room that people can spend some time, you know, with their deceased animal if they want to. Some people want to do that, some people don't. So I really just play it by, you know, by what their sense is. I give them all the options to see what they want to do, and they'll always, you know, choose whichever option they want.
Sure.
And so that's the deal. I mean, they bring them once they've been deceased. A lot of animals will just die of natural causes at home.
Mm-hmm.
Some will be put down at the veterinarian, but they didn't want to, they wanted a little bit more of a personal experience with the cremation. So they want to bring the dog themselves, or I should say pet themselves.
Sure.
And so those are basically who we take in. There are some other, you know, major cremation services in the area that will pick the animals up from the vet and do it and bring it back. But you know, bring it back to the owners, but you never know what those particular services, you know, how, if you're getting the specific remains of your animal, and there's some questions there. So it, you know, it's just a kind of a choose what you want to choose.
Sure.
And there's a niche for us with that service, in the area.
All right. So from a technical question or technical standpoint, I should say, how hot does a furnace have to get in order to actually end up with ashes?
Yeah, great question. It's it gets to approximately, it wavers a little bit throughout the process. It takes 2 or 2.5 hours to complete the whole thing.
All right.
And it gets to roughly 2,000 degrees.
Holy cow.
Yeah, yeah. And you are left with sometimes a little bit of a skeleton, but the bones are so brittle that you can just, put them into a pan and grind them up a little bit. So they're not, you aren't left with big bone structures.
Sure.
To give back to people. So yeah, if you want to get to the nuts and bolts, that is the deal. And
I guess I'm just looking at this from a financial point of view.
Sure.
Cause if somebody brings in their pooch, right. Been with them a while, let's call it 16 years or something like that. I can only imagine with my dog, I'd be broken for a little bit.
Oh, it's tough.
Yeah, I imagine. So you bring your dog in, from a logistics point of view, you got to get this furnace up to 2,000 degrees every time somebody brings in a pet to get cremated. That takes some power.
It does. It's heated with a propane LP tank.
Okay.
And it's usually about, what I've found is roughly 50 gallons of propane per cremation.
50 gallons.
50 gallons, yeah, to run it. Yep. Give or take, but usually in that area.
I feel like you could power Cottage Grove for a few hours with that.
maybe. But, that's what it takes. And then, so that is the cost. I mean, that's our cost. That's really what the deal is there. So clearly, there's a cost to it. And, and that's what it takes to fire it up. And then you run and you monitor it. Definitely more for the first hour because you don't want it to get too hot. And so there's some things you can do there to adjust. I mean, very simple things like shutting a burner down, when it gets hot enough, and then you might have to refire it up if it gets too cool. So that's just what you do for about an hour, depending on the size of the animal to do the cremation. And so, it's certainly, if you would have told me a couple of years ago that I'd be doing this, I'm not shocked by very many things, but I would have said, okay, that's interesting.
Sure. Are you sure? So,
but
yeah, it's interesting.
The real skill of it is the, is just to try and help people through the time. I mean, we're not too advanced. There's some full service, cremation operations that have even like grieving counselors on hand. And that's great, for people who want that.
Sure.
That's fantastic. We don't do that, but by the same token, I'm not going to be cold about it either. I mean, I want to help you, when you come to us to feel good about what you're doing, to give you all the time you need. We do have some things that people can take with them, like, the paw prints that we can do in clay, something to remember your pet by, that sort of stuff. So we do that, but it's not, it's going to be a little bit less frilly, I guess you could say. I don't know the right word for it, but it's not as involved as what some other places will do.
Sure.
But of course it doesn't cost as much either. So
right. But I imagine you're not just handing them an old coffee can full of ashes.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. That is interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, the previous owners owned this place for 25 years. They started from scratch. They built up their clientele. They had the cremation thing, they did all this stuff. You guys take over. What have been some of the changes that that you noticed that you did not anticipate? And let's just start there.
Yeah. So I think, what we've done, they were certainly, I guess, old school is what you'd say. I mean, as it relates to the facility and what they were doing, and that's fine. Nothing wrong with it, but there are some changes that did and still need to be made. We're sort of bit by bit making some changes.
Sure.
Particularly getting some upgraded facilities as far as the play decks are concerned. We need to upgrade the fencing and some of the gating so that dogs can, get in and out better, safer. There's dogs will tend to, they're, clumped at the door, and they all try to get in when it's time to come in and eat. And when you have 20 dogs, that can get to be a little crazy. So building some gating, having a little bit more of a different sanitation system that I'm trying to, kind of simple stuff, but just you know, the power washing and having hoses put in the right spots, stuff like that. We've been changing. You know, we're looking at probably redoing the entire kennel as it relates to the actual kennels. Sure. And I don't have quite of a timeline on that, but it's something I'm actively working on trying to get into place here to upgrade the facility a little bit.
All right.
So those are some things that are going on. One of the big changes we're making or have made is to commit to and build out a full scale daycare. The old owners had a daycare, but it wasn't anything that you would, you know, it's more like, I guess, just here's a place to put your pet for the day.
It was more of a boarding facility.
Yeah, we more are, of course, having people staff it, having people watch the animals and play with them all day to get them to socialize and play hard and then be tired at the end of the day and happy. Happy and tired, socialized dog is what we want to send home.
Right.
And we feel like that's our goal, is to be able to give you that. That's what you're paying for, you know, when you bring your dog.
Right.
And so that's what we're trying to do as far as our daycare practice. And, you know, that's in the process of being built. I mean, that's really a huge opportunity that we see, and we want to continue to grow it. It's grown a little bit. Again, the COVID has gotten in the way,
right.
But we still have people coming.
Right.
So we want to, hopefully, as we begin to reopen and I'm not going to say get back to normal. I don't know if we will, but as we kind of get through the summer here and we'll see what happens in the fall, we're putting it out there and having, you know, we are attracting some new customers and trying to attract more, certainly in that area, and boarding. I mean, the old owners did not market the place really the last 5 or 10 years. They kind of coasted on what they had. And again, that's fine. I can see it, but we're in a position where we think there's opportunity to spread the word a little bit more. So
that's a perfect segue, because I love talking about marketing with people that own businesses and just learning what they do. I guess the big question, since you were in radio, are you going to be doing any radio advertising?
No.
No? I imagine because you're so focused from a location point of view that it may be too broad of a reach to be realistic.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I you know, you don't hear too many animal services on radio. Maybe some vets, veterinarians. I don't know. You know, it's not something that I don't believe needs the radio. And to your point, it's very location specific. I don't know that radio advertising would be super cost effective. I guess I could be, not really talked into it, but I'd never considered it. So I guess I could consider it, but you know, the more effective thing for us is really, the social media, the SEO, and the driving people to our website, is what we are focusing on.
Sure.
And, trying to get that type of marketing out there more and more. And then also, and again, this is where COVID has really put a wrench in things, chambers of commerce, getting out, on the ground, going to the pet events, that they have in town, all that stuff's been shut down. So we're unable to have a presence in those areas. And that's the time consuming, I get it, you know, marketing, but that's what I was looking forward to doing as well, to try and really build in the surrounding communities, Cottage Grove, Stoughton, McFarland, you know, even over by Dodgeville, or not Dodgeville, I'm sorry. Why am I thinking of Dodgeville? Wrong way. Going down Highway 12 to Cambridge.
Okay.
For some reason I mixed up Cambridge and Dodgeville. I don't think anybody's ever done that.
No.
Anyway, going down to Cambridge and some of those areas to really pull people in, because we have a good location, you know, just on 12 and 18, and we're just also north of the interstate of 94. So we're in a really good location to off some main arteries. You can come from the east side of Madison, you know, it's pretty short drive off the Beltline to get over to us if you're in the Stoughton Road, Monona Drive area, for instance. So that sort of thing of just, you know, getting to know people there and that is what we're missing and will be, you know, for the foreseeable future, but hopefully we can come back to that.
Right. Interesting. So does this place have a house?
It does.
Are you guys living in it, or is this just dogs or something in there.
We actually have an employee who lives there and is able to overnight as well, so it works out well. But sure. We chose not to move in to that house, so
That's okay. Living at work is tough.
Yeah, exactly.
That is interesting. So the old owners, the way that you left it, was it pretty much just a light switch where you threw them some cash and they gave you the keys and said, see you later? Or how did the transition work?
Yeah, no, good question. It was a few weeks of a transition. Really, by the time October rolled around, we were fully in transition. We can always still call them if anything comes up. But the old owner stayed on and helped run the place with me through the month of September last year.
Okay.
I started to sort of train in before the sale was final as well.
Sure.
So it worked out. I had a good month to 6 weeks of kind of learning what he was doing and what they were doing.
Sure.
And then taking over from there. So it worked well. That was a good agreement the way it worked.
Okay. Nice. That sounds pretty cool. So then we got to shift into, I guess, employees and all that jazz. Did they have employees? Did you have to get employees? How did that work?
Yeah. No, they did have some employees. We retained most of them. I think we retained everybody who was working there and then added two of our own. But yeah, they had good employees, long-term employees. And
that's huge.
I think that, it is. And that transition worked pretty well. And they are still with us. So
very cool.
It was pretty smooth from that standpoint.
Nice. So is there anything that any challenges that you didn't, besides the whole virus thing, are there any challenges that you didn't foresee after the purchase that popped up?
Yeah. A worldwide pandemic, James.
Well, let's call it September through mid-February or whatever.
Yeah.
Hindsight being 2020, like, I don't know,
Broker
or something more localized.
I don't mean to sound, however this would sound, I don't think there really were any challenges that we did not foresee. I mean, we had vetted the place pretty well and looked into pros and cons. We knew there'd be some challenges. I think just from building the numbers up, and those continue to be there. We're working on it, obviously. And they were coming up a little bit before the pandemic. But, I think just knowing that what was going to take place, I think we had to, this wasn't really bad. It wasn't too tough, but we had to, help employees to understand some different ways of running the business that we were going to implement, because my wife is a veterinarian. I mean, there are some different practices that we implemented from sanitation standpoint the numbers of animals that could be out with one person at one time, that sort of stuff.
Gotcha.
So we definitely put those into place. But there wasn't a lot of resistance because it was, I think it made sense to people when we explained it. So that's gone pretty smooth.
Was it, as far as retention of customers, has that gone well, or was that a challenge, or, virus?
Yeah, as far as I know, it's gone well. In other words, I haven't heard anybody say, oh, we're not coming back, or we quit coming back. There might have been some people that, that just stopped either because they had, personal relationships with the old owners, or because some people are kind of funny when, we did change the name. And so maybe they
decided
not to. Yeah, we did. Yep.
What was it before? And I guess right now it's Unleashed. That seems like a cool name.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Credit my wife on that one. She really came up with it. So
what was it before? Like Joe Bob's Daycare or something like that?
No, it was called Rose Run Kennels.
It was called what?
Rose Run Kennels.
Okay.
Was the previous name. And we just decided we wanted a different name. And felt the opportunity was there to rebrand, because it had been, they hadn't really marketed it in a long time. So I thought it was a good opportunity for us to get into these communities with a kind of a fresh new name.
Sure.
We did change the name, and, it's gone pretty well. We'll get calls every now and then, and somebody will, I'll say, hi, thanks for calling Unleashed, and there'll be dead air and a hang up. And I don't know what that means necessarily. Other people say, wait, is this Rose Run? So that sort of thing.
Oh, funny.
there'll be a process of re-education. You know, you take a risk when you rebrand it. And I get that. It's a 25-year business, you know. So we kind of weighed the pros and cons of that one too. But at the end of the day, we just thought, well, given the circumstances of kind of where they're at, where we want to be, we like the Unleashed name. And so we went with it with a new design and logo and all that stuff too. So
very cool. Yeah, your logo's pretty sweet.
Yeah, thank you. Again, all credit to my wife on that one. She picked it out, came up with it, had it done. Sure. I think it's really cool. I got to tell you.
Yeah. Kudos to her. Yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
So what do you see for the future? Let's call it in the next 5 years for Unleashed. What do you expect to have happen?
Well, ideally, again, we'll build out the daycare to be something that's cooking pretty good. We have plenty of space. We have the opportunity to create a great experience for owners and pets with the daycare, you know, and so we want to see that happen. Also the boarding. I mean, again, we have the most or as competitive rates as anybody in the area. And, you know, we feel good. We're located on these main arteries, so to speak, with Highway 12 and 18. And again, the interstate so close by. So for people traveling, you know, it's an easy spot to get to.
Sure.
To drop off and pick up pets. So we feel strong that the boarding can, with the right, you know, brand awareness and knowledge around the area, that can pick up substantially as well. Those two things will help as well, fill us up with grooming. We do want to expand our grooming operation a little bit, so we'll have to build that out physically because we need more space. But that's the opportunity exists to do that. So, you know, we see that. That's what I'm focused on right now. My wife, of course, also has the Galaxy Vet practice, which again we could do some things there as well to build it out and you know, grow that a little bit. And I think combining a veterinarian to help with the boarding too with certain people, you know, gives them a lot of comfort.
Sure,
you'll say, hey, you know, I can take my dog, where there's a vet, and it just adds to the value proposition we offer to care for the pets. So, you know, all that stuff, I mean, there's just a lot of opportunity to grow it. And then there's look, long-term, I mean, there's open land around the area. I've not even inquired about it yet, but if we ever did feel the need to, or the opportunity arose to be able to purchase a few more acres and expand, we, you know, that would be out there. So it's something that I mean, it's out there.
Sure.
I'm not there yet, but it's out there.
Yeah, you're surrounded by farm field, it looks like, right?
Exactly. Yep. Okay. Yep. That's exactly right. So,
all right. Good or bad, right?
No, it'd be a good chance, maybe. Maybe we can talk in 5 years, see where we're at.
Sure. That is super cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Have you had this entrepreneurial bug forever? Or has this been just a recent thing? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's probably been with me forever. I've never named it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I've done things like when I first started in sports broadcasting, I got a job opportunity that was actually, I mean, the pay would not give you a clue to this, but it was way over my head. I actually ended up taking a radio station over in La Crosse out of college. And
All right.
It was ESPN radio affiliate. And I took it over, and just because the owner was incredibly cheap.
Sure.
I was able to basically create the thing from the ground up, which is, you know, you don't realize how great an opportunity that is when you're a 22-year-old. But I did, and I just leaned into it, so to speak. I mean, I just, you know, went for it without a lot of worry. And so I think that tells you that, yeah, okay, that's probably, even though I wasn't starting a business, really, it was that entrepreneurial idea of just coming up with your ideas and going for it.
Sure.
And so stuff like that, I've always kind of had that creative side of things. And, you know, I think, you know, when I got to Northwestern Mutual, they throw that word at you a lot.
You know, oh, sure. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I began to recognize that in myself that, okay, yeah, I do have this spirit. But then it's just matching up the opportunity with the, you know, with what you have to offer. And that's, I feel like this is a really perfect match. So.
Sure. That's cool. So if you were to give someone a piece of advice that was considering starting their own business, whether it was a dog daycare, boarding facility, or anything else,
sure.
What have you learned that you would send their way as far as advice goes?
I don't even know if I'm qualified to answer that yet.
You could argue no one is, but that's all right.
Yeah,
doesn't mean you're wrong.
No, that's true. I mean, I feel like it's. I guess if I had to do it, I would say, you know, you want to learn as much as you can, obviously, about whatever field you're going into. You want to see other people and who does it successfully, because success leaves clues, right? And you want to be able to implement that, and try and understand it. But also there's got to be kind of an element where you're not going to have all the answers. The map's not going to be laid out. There's sure. I've described you where we want to get to. I have a feeling, you know, of the general direction to go, but there's no point by point exact way to get there.
Right.
You just have to do what you think is best and kind of go for it. Right.
Sure.
And so that's where, and you're going to have failures, you know, and you're going to have to learn.
That's the name of the game. You got it.
Yeah, all these cliches are true. Everybody talks about they're all true. Successful people fail more than failures do, you know,
who
that sort
knew?
Of thing. Yeah, right. So it's all true. Yeah. So you just kind of, you want to have some passion for it, and you just go for it every day, I guess. Sure.
That is cool. Well, Ben, I appreciate you being on the show. This has been super interesting.
Thanks.
I'm just excited. When I saw that you own this dog daycare place, from where I knew you from, which I think I met you probably when you were at Northwestern Mutual.
We did. Yeah. We met, we were in a networking group.
Yeah.
Speaking of
years ago, right? Years ago.
Yeah. It was maybe 10 years ago, James. Been about 10 years.
Time flies.
Yeah. Somewhere in that range. Yeah.
Time flies.
Yeah.
So in my world, owning a dog daycare place is about 1,000 times above a financial planner.
But thank you, James.
That's where I am bias-wise. So Ben, you made a move in the right direction. That's super cool. So
yeah,
it was impressive, and I was so happy to see that you did it. And it was great to hear your story.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, thanks for asking me on. It's really nice of you, and it's good to tell the story. It's only in the first couple chapters. So
yeah, it's early. Right, we'll talk again in a few years, see where you're at. You probably have 50 more acres or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Multiple stories, whatever. Diving boards and all that jazz. Cool. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumph and successes of business owners across the land, coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. Actually, this time we're remote because there's a virus and all that jazz. But anyways, someday we'll be back in the studio. If you are listening to this on the web, please like, subscribe, and share. My name is James Kateman, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for small businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw-In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs in all stages of their business on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur and all of us, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Ben Larson, owner of Unleashed Pet Boarding Daycare and Grooming. Ben, before you go, what is the website where people can find you?
Yeah, it's called unleashedpetboarding.com. So the three words put together, unleashedpetboarding.com.
That seems just about the easiest thing in the world to remember. Super cool.
Hopefully.
Right? Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.